Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and belief expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas. Good evening and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris and I'm here with the co-host, Tom Moore from the I'm from the Hillcrest Church of Christ. Tom is from Hamilton, the Park Heights Church of Christ. And we are here to discuss the Bible tonight, and I want to remind you all that this is a live call-in talk show, and this works a whole lot better if you call in. And I was told last week that we are not giving this phone number near often enough because some people can't remember it. And so I want to begin by giving you the number. Write it down, if you will, 254-445-2473. Again, that's 254-445-2473. We would welcome your calls, your comments, your questions, whatever your questions may be. We would welcome them here on this show. To start with tonight, I want to take just a moment, Tom, to express our condolences to the victims of the Arizona shootings.
Yes.
There have been some people that have lost their lives there. There have been some people that are severely wounded, critically injured. Friends, that's just not the way America is supposed to be. And we want to express our condolences and offer our prayers and our thoughts to the families and the victims of that shooting. Now, in our program today, we're going to follow up what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about inspiration and how the Bible is inspired of God. And the Bible itself gives its own best definition of that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. We read that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, Tom, that one verse right there not only tells us that the Bible is inspired, but also that the Bible is God's word of authority.
That's right.
Which is going to get us into the next segment. Now, we proved for the last couple of weeks through the Bible, that the Bible is inspired. It is the divine revelation of God. The Bible claims that it is the divine revelation of God, and the Bible proves that it is the revelation of God. And we spent a couple of weeks showing about the inspiration of God, and that's going to move us right on in to the authority, which is so, so very important that we understand this.
That's right. Authority is an issue that's well, it's very greatly misunderstood in our world, and one that's also greatly ignored. Authority is something that we have to do with in every aspect of our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to the very laws of the land, we have to respect the authority of the laws of the land. Can you imagine, David, living in a society where man had no respect for the authority of the laws of the land? Just think how kind of a chaos it'd be on our streets if we did not expect authority. Whenever you come to a traffic light and there's a red light and you have to stop, that's respecting authority.
Right.
And even in the sporting events, you have various regulations you have to go by. That's the authority of the game. And if you don't have any kind of authority or any kind of standard in that, then the game's going to be nothing but a bunch of chaos. You know, and this is something that we have to teach our children from a very young age, to respect authority. Now, if we don't teach them to respect authority, well, you know, we have a lot of kids who are growing up not respecting authority, and they're ending up in the penitentiary.
Well, right, and it is the tendency, and everybody knows this, of young children to resist authority,
but right,
because they want to express their own will. But this is where parents have to step in and to teach the proper respect for authority. Because if you don't, what you have is a bunch of two-year-olds leading their parents around by the nose,
yeah,
and telling the parents what is going to take place here and what is not going to take place. And sadly enough, we have a bunch of that going on.
Yeah, we've seen much of that going on in our world today. And you know, authority is in every aspect of life, and it's impossible to escape authority. Now, some will try to escape authority, but in reality, they cannot. They rebel against it. But, you know, even when they rebel against, that still shows that he is subject to authority because he's wanting to rebel against it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important for us that to realize without authority, chaos would reign in our world. And when we don't teach our kids to respect authority, the laws of the land, the authority of the parents, then they're going to grow up not respecting the authority of God. And we see a lot of that going on in our world today, don't we, David?
Absolutely. So this kind of brings us to what we are going to talk about today. And again, I want to give that phone number out, 254-445-2473. This works a whole lot better, this call-in talk show thing. It works way better when people call in and actually we get to talk to people and get other people's input here. So if you've got a question, if you've got a comment, if anything you want to talk about, just call us and we'd be glad to talk about it. Our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And we're going to start out kind of in a backward sense here, Tom. Today we're going to talk about the false standards because there are so many false standards in the world today. False authority, people that are holding up items of authority that are actually false. And this carries right on into religion. Just as you say, in every aspect of our life, whether it be the world, whether it be the business, or whether it be the sporting aspect of our life, there's always going to be authority and a standard by which each and every one of those things will go. And it is no different in religion. There is an authority, but the problem with religion today is that there are so many people that are adhering to a false authority, one authority that is not recognized, and that's the one they're going with.
That's right. And getting this all started, we might give a definition of what authority is.
Mm-hmm.
Authority is the power or the right to give commands, to enforce obedience, to take action, or to make final decisions, to have jurisdiction. And so we need to realize that authority is something that all of us have to abide by, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to abide by it. And what we're most concerned about tonight is the authority of God, because if we're not abiding by God's authority, then we're abiding by some other authority, and that's not going to lead us to heaven, is it?
No, it's not. And this is what we're going to throw out here. We've got God's standard on the one hand, and then we've got all of these false religious standards on the other hand. And I guess subjectivism is the main culprit here, Tom,
that's
because
right.
What we have in subjectivism is a knowledge that is limited by our experience or by our feelings,
mm-hmm.
versus a genuine standard that is given by the inspiration of God. And so let's talk about this subjectivism just a little bit, because it permeates the religion to the nth degree.
And what this does, really, subjectivism, is that authority is subject to how you feel about something. And everybody feels different about everything, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can imagine how broad the authority would be in that kind of situation. And actually, this elevates man to the state of God, where they start going by, how many times have we heard things like, well, I just feel,
mm-hmm.
or I feel in my heart that this is the way things ought to be. You know, and this is something that Naaman dealt with or was involved in. You remember in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman had leprosy.
Right.
And he went to the prophet Elisha, and Elisha told him that he needed to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Well, that should have been enough, shouldn't it? You know, to get rid of leprosy, you do what the prophet says.
Right.
But instead, he says there in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11, he was wroth, he was angry, and went away and says, behold, I thought. He had some other idea in mind. He was allowing his thinking to outweigh what God says. I was thinking that you would do something else, or I was thinking it would be this way. But instead, he was doing things his own way. What we think can never be our authority in religion.
Now, what in essence Naaman was doing here is God was speaking through a prophet, which God's word is the authority. The prophet is only the mouthpiece. He went to this prophet to find out what he could do to rid himself of this leprosy. The prophet told him what God told him to do. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he didn't like it. He says, behold, I thought, you know, I thought maybe he'd wave his hands or something and he'd make do some just great big, marvelous thing in front of my eyes. But all he wanted me to do was go down there and dip myself seven times in that old muddy Jordan River. And behold, I thought this just, he elevated his will, his thoughts and his feelings to the same level as those of God. Mm-hmm. And this, in essence, becomes self-will worship.
That's right. You know, Isaiah, speaking for God, says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9,
mm-hmm.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's where we get ourselves into trouble. When we start trying to put our thoughts, our wishes, our will above the wishes, the will, and the thoughts of God. And you mentioned a moment ago that will worship. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23, it talks about how there are some involved in will worship. In other words, they're wanting to worship God the way they want to, as opposed to what God says. Now, if I remember correctly, Jesus says in John 4 verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the authority, isn't it, David?
That is the word of God, truth. John chapter 17, verse 17, God's word is truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. God's word is truth. And when we look at that truth, what we find is the word of God being the truth. This is where the separation is made. We read about this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, where the Holy Spirit through Paul's letter to the Roman church says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God tells us what to do, but these men want to hold it or hinder it as being an unrighteous thing that he's telling us to do here. And they put their own words as righteous and his words as unrighteous. And that's exactly what we do when we interject our thoughts instead of God's will or his truth that is revealed in his word.
That's right. And another passage that points this very issue out is found in Romans chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning in verse 33, where it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Paul is saying here, God's ways are so much higher than our ways. And who are we to counsel him by injecting our thoughts above his thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's exactly what the world is doing. Not only by people disobeying the laws of the land, but more specifically and more importantly, people are putting their thoughts in religion above God's thoughts, God's wishes, God's commands. You know, one of the things that really is behind all of this is the idea of conscience and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard people say things like, David, well, that doesn't go against my conscience, or I just feel in my heart that this is the proper thing to do. Well, that's when you have that kind of attitude, there's really no right or wrong, is there, David?
No, and you often hear, let your conscience be your guide.
Yes.
This is big phraseology, and especially coming out of Hollywood. Let your conscience be your guide. You see this, you hear this in a lot of movies that are made, and by the way, our children today are being educated by Hollywood more so than they are by the teachers in school. They watch more television than they do go to school. And so these phrases that come out of Hollywood, like let your conscience be your guide, they become a big obstacle for our children, for our young people, even for adults who watch a lot of television. Let your conscience be your guide. But that conscience can be a good or it can be bad, depending on how your conscience is educated.
Mm-hmm.
Your conscience has got to be filled with the right kind of knowledge in order to know the difference between right and wrong.
And once it is educated with what is truly right and what is truly wrong, which can only be done by the standard, because if we do what is truly right according to man, it's not going to match up with God. As you mentioned just a moment ago in Isaiah chapter 55, his ways are so much higher than ours that we can't match our ways up to his ways. And so when our conscience is educated by the television rather than educated by the standard which God has given us, then the conscience is a very, very dangerous thing.
You know, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps.
Mm-hmm.
When we have a conscience that has been developed and guided by the things of this world, then we're not walking in the steps of God. And when we allow this type of thing to happen, all kinds of evil takes place. For example, if a person's, you know, you've heard people say that they're streetwise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got a conscience that's been developed by the things of the world. And so it might not hurt their conscience to steal or to kill somebody or to sell drugs, because that conscience has been developed by something other than the Word of God. And that is subjectivism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they believe is true is subject to how they feel or how their conscience has been taught. But for us to really have the right kind of conscience, it has to be one that's developed by the Word of God. And you know, David, the only way we're going to develop that conscience is if we spend time in the Word of God.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring up this streetwise thing, because I've done quite a bit of work in prison. Not that I was in prison, but I was going into prison to work with those individuals that were there, mainly with the youth, the TYC, it used to be called the TYC, the Texas Youth Commission. I think since they got into all the trouble in the Texas Youth Commission, they've changed the name of it. But nevertheless, it is for kids between the age of 12 and 21 years old that never did learn the meaning to the word no. In other words, they were rebelling against authority from the get-go. And this one young lady that I was working with there was telling me about how her sister's live-in boyfriend really did love her. And I said, you know, if he really did love her, he'd marry her. He would marry her. They already had two children. I said, he would marry her and they would be together for the rest of their life if he truly did love her. But he's leaving himself and out so he can leave whenever he wants to. Oh, no. And so I'm trying to think of a way that I can explain it to her where she would kind of grasp this. I said, well, what would you think if your mother was living or shacked up with another man? And she said, Mr. Harris, my mother is shacked up with another man. And I said, okay, let's think of just a little bit more. And we're talking about streetwise here. What does bother your conscience?
Mm-hmm.
And so then I said, well, okay, here's one. What would you think if your grandmother was shacked up with another man? She said, Mr. Harris, my grandmother is shacked up with another man. And so what we have here is conscience guiding not just one generation, not just two generations, but three generations of people guided by their conscience, not guided by any authority whatsoever coming from God, and they are not bothered with it. Not one single one of them are bothered by it.
So if it's all right with Grandma, it's all right with Mama, it's all right with me, so it doesn't bother my conscience.
Exactly.
That's a conscience that is developed by the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we want to remind you again that our phone number to call in is 254-445-2473, and we would love to hear any comments or questions you have about the subject of authority or anything else pertaining to this. But as we develop this idea here, let's talk a little bit about Paul and his conscience.
Right.
Paul was a man who was trained in the Jewish religion. He was a man who was taught in the manner of the law of the fathers perfectly. He was very zealous in his beliefs there. And he began, because of his training, he began to persecute Christians. You'll notice in Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 9, that he was throwing people into prison. He was putting them to death. He was speaking out against them. He was punishing them. He was persecuting them, and he was doing all of these things, and he thought that he was doing the right thing, wasn't he, David?
Absolutely.
But then you'll see there in Acts chapter 24 and verse 16 that he says that he did all things, he did not violate his conscience whatsoever. Well, if he did not violate his conscience, was he still doing right?
Well, according to his conscience, he was.
But his conscience was developed wrongly, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It was contrary to God's will.
And then later on, when he realized what he was doing that was wrong, his conscience began to be developed back toward God's word. And so we've got to realize the importance of developing our conscience the correct way. And our conscience is not always a safe guide. We cannot allow our conscience to be our authority unless our conscience is developed and matured in the word of God. And so our conscience and man's feeling cannot be our authority in religion.
Now, you know, just to give you an illustration of how this works, those or that young lady that I was talking to in the TYC who had no problem with her conscience in doing that which that her sister was doing, her mother was doing, her grandmother was doing, that is, living in adultery and fornication outside of the bonds of marriage, you see, that didn't violate her conscience. But that would violate my conscience.
Yes.
Tremendously so. It would violate my conscience. Now, the difference here is she had never been exposed to a standard of authority, the Bible, and I had. And probably if I were put in the same situation, it wouldn't violate my conscience either.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get to a standard of authority that is going to be the truth, that is going to be a righteous standard in every single case.
You know, that's easy for us to see a lot of times between religion and the world.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that is kind of blurred in our minds sometimes is there are sometimes people who claim to be religious who are also being guided by their thoughts or their conscience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look around the world today and you see all kinds of different religions, don't you, David?
Absolutely.
One religion teaches this, one religion teaches that, and it contradicts one another. And many times when you ask them why, they say things like, well, I just think this is the way it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel in my heart that's the way it ought to be. My conscience has guided me to go this way. And that has caused a lot of religious error to come into the world.
Right.
And a lot of people are even going so far as saying, well, the Lord told me to do this. Having dreams or visions, or maybe some angel said something to them and say, well, now that's my authority.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says something different about that, doesn't it?
Absolutely it does. The Bible is very specific about what to believe and what not to believe.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says to believe God's word and use it as the standard and be very, very careful of these false, subjective standards that people keep coming up with.
That's right.
And one of those standards is the fact that some people say, well you know, God spoke to me, and here's what he told me to tell you. I always thought it was interesting, you know, and these televangelists that will come up with this on our televisions, you know, and he'll tell the audience or everybody that's listening on television or watching on television, he said, I had a vision, here's what God told me to tell all of you. You know, I have never one time ever heard of one of those televangelists getting a message from God telling them to give all that money back. You know, it's always take money, it's never give all that money back. But now, these individuals, they will come up, and some of them, by the way, some of them absolutely believe that something has spoken to them, that they had this dream, that they had this vision. They believe it with all of their heart. But we have some admonitions in our Bible against that very thing. And one of those is in Galatians chapter 1. And if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to read this with me, beginning there in verse 6. Now, the number to call, if you're looking for a number, is 254-445-2473. And I want to read to you what God has revealed to us in His truth, in His righteous divine word that is to guide our lives and is supposed to be our standard. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that has called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, Tommy, he is writing this to the churches at Galatia. Paul had gone through there. The churches had been established with the authority and with the standard of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given to each one of those congregations there. And now he comes back and he hears that they have been moved by some kind of working spirit and Judaizing teacher that has come in behind them and changed the authority that God has given.
It's like he's saying, I just can't believe my ears.
Cannot believe it. I was there. I told you what was right. And y'all, y'all are, I marvel that you are so soon removed from that. And then he says, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you, who would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Even if it were an angel from heaven that came down here and told somebody different than what is revealed in this book, don't believe it. That's what he's telling
you. That's right. And you know what's amazing to me, David? These people who claim to have these visions and dreams that God told them to do this or that, somebody else will also have a dream or a vision and tell God says you do this, but those things contradict one another.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the religious world, there are so people who claim to have this direct revelation from God, and they are contradicting one another. Well, that in and of itself ought to tell you something's wrong.
Something's got to be wrong. They have strayed from a standard, and this is exactly the point that Paul is making to all these churches in Galatia. You have strayed from the standard which has been given to you, the standard being the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. Now, that is what they have strayed from. So even if it is an angel from heaven, they can't follow that. Angels and dreams and visions, they cannot be trusted to lead us in the right way.
And not only that, we realize that the days of dreams and visions, the days of the miraculous revelation mm-hmm. of God have passed.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us now that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And so we have today, David, the Bible, which is our authority, not the dreams, not the visions, but it's God's Word that is our authority. And we're told in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, that we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of Him. And so even if a person were to have dreams, we know that those dreams are some figment of their imagination, or sometimes, I believe, David, even people just lie about it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're so confused that whenever they think something or believe something, they think God has told them that. But our thoughts, again, are not to be our authority.
Right. Well, now, it just stands to reason. I mean, this is just kind of logical thinking here. If God has revealed everything to us that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, that is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. If He has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness, then if a person were to have a vision or a dream or somebody speaking to him that would reveal more than that, it would be too much.
That's right.
And if it revealed the same that is in here, What good is that? We've already got it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just logical thinking. There's nothing to this vision or this dream that comes to people. And I've had people argue with me about it. As a matter of fact, here, right here on this radio station, we had a preacher call in from a denominational body that was going to prove to us that he did indeed have God speaking to him, and that he could speak in tongues and he could perform miracles, and God was working through him to get all of this stuff done. Friends, it just won't happen anymore. That is subjectivism. That is exactly what the Bible teaches against. Now, the number to call, again, is 254-445-2473, and we're just about up against a break, Tom. So about this time, let's take us a break. And after the break, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this subjectivism and how it even goes into some of the biggest denominations out there in the world. And so the number to call, and you can call us anytime, 254-445-2473. See you on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we have met.
Maybe you have heard someone say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. As good as that may sound, it does not properly reflect the truth. The psalmist David declared, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Every time we read the Bible, we have access to the very mind of God, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. If we refuse to do the will of the Father, Jesus will say in judgment, "I never knew you. Depart from me." The true attitude we should have toward the Holy Scripture should be, God said it, that settles it whether I believe it or not. Do you believe God's Word? For you, does that settle the matter concerning religion once and for all? Are you living by the Word of God? The Park Hodge Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible studies for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. And our worship times are each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at the Park Hodge Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Someday when my last line is written,
we spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. More conveniences but less time. More medicine but less wellness. We read too little, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of tall men and short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce, of a fancier house but broken homes. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life but not life to years. We've cleaned up the air but we have polluted the soul. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We at the Hillcrest Church of Christ invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 10:30 a.m., also at 6 p.m. in the evening services, midweek services at 7 o'clock. Allow the Lord to put your life back together again.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. We're talking tonight about authority, and we have been talking about subjectivism and how that people are allowing their thoughts and their feelings to be their conscience or to be their authority in religion. But we've been showing that that cannot be the case and is false. We have a caller on the line, I believe, don't we? No, no caller on the line, just a errant phone call. But it got our hopes up anyway.
Yeah, we did.
But anyway, remember that the call is 254-445-2473 if you'd like to make a comment or have any questions about what we're talking about tonight. Well, we left off a moment ago about talking about dreams and visions and how people allow this kind of subjectivism to be their authority in religion. And really, David, what that is pretty much people just wanting to do it their own way and saying that God told me. Well, I had a lady one time that lived next door to me in Buna, Texas. And every day she'd come up and told me, the Lord told me to do this, the Lord told me to do that. The Lord would tell her which way to comb her hair, what dress to put on, and I was getting real tired of it. And finally, David, I said, the Lord told me He didn't tell you that. Well, in reality He did, but He told me through the pages of the Bible,
right,
not through some vision or some dream, but God tells us and instructs us and gives His authority through the Bible, and dreams and visions do not match up with that. But there's another thing, David, that people allow to be their authority in religion, and that is that of their parents. They allow what their parents believe and what their parents think to direct them and to guide them in religion. And so people often say things like, well, if it's good enough for mom and dad, it's good enough for me. But you know, if you were to think about one's religion and their parents, you know, what if you were to have a parent who had one belief in a religion, the other parent believed another thing in a religion? How is that going to work, David?
Well, I grew up in a family like that, and it's very difficult. It keeps everybody in the family confused because you don't know who's right and who's wrong here. And obviously they're both not right, or they'd be going to the same place.
That's right.
And not even that would account for who is right according to the Bible, but who is they can be both wrong together just as easily as they can be both right together. And the only way to be right is through the Bible. Now, I've had people tell me, Tommy, that now my grandmother was such and thus, And there was nobody any holier than my grandmother, than the Virgin Mary herself. And if she's not right, then I'm not going to heaven. And I mean, they'll stake their entire soul salvation upon what grandma believed. Now, my grandmother was just as good as anybody's grandma around. But my grandmother did not believe what the Bible said.
Mm-hmm. And that's sad, isn't it?
It's very sad.
And you know, and Paul talks about this, about the view of their fathers, and he says in Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, he says, "For ye have heard of my conversation or my manner of life in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." And so here, Paul was following the traditions of his fathers,
not only his
religious fathers, but more than likely his father, his grandfather, and his grandfather. He was following their views, their ideas, their traditions, but he come to realize that he was wrong, and he had to make a change. And that's what we've got to get people to realize. You know, one of the things that's really hard for us to help people see the truth of a matter is, well, I just can't believe my mother was wrong.
Right.
I just can't believe my grandmother was wrong. I just can't believe that they're not going to heaven. And that's a hard obstacle to get over sometimes.
Right. Well, in the case of Paul, and he tells us throughout his writings, throughout these inspired writings, one of them is in Philippians chapter 2, he talks about being able to trace his lineage all the way back to the tribe of Benjamin. This is something that a lot of people couldn't do. He could trace his religion, his fathers all the way, and the tradition of his fathers all the way back to the tribe of Benjamin, his fathers, his grandfathers, and they sent him, evidently they were a people of means, because he was sent from Tarsus to study at the feet of Gamaliel, which was one of the leading instructors, religious instructors of that day, and I'm sure he didn't do that for nothing. And he was instructed at his feet. He gained quite a bit of authority under the Sanhedrin court. I'm not sure that he wasn't even a member of that Sanhedrin court at that time. Could be, maybe not, maybe so. But I do know that he had an awful lot of authority. He had a place of high esteem in society. He had things and evidently some money to go with it at the time that he was doing what he was doing. But he had to repent of his religion, and as a result of that, he lost everything that he had of a material, temporal nature, but he gained everything that he could gain in a spiritual nature.
That's right. And when he was looking back at all that, he counted it all but refuse, all but dung when it come to the gospel of Christ. And what we need to realize is, David, is that we're not called by our parents to Christianity. We're not called by our grandparents to Christianity, but we're called by the gospel of Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. So it doesn't matter what mom and daddy thought. It doesn't matter what grandma and grandpa thought. It didn't matter what your grandparents, your great-grandparents thought. It matters what the Bible says. And if we're not careful, we're going to lead ourselves into error and lots of difficulty if we abide by what they say instead of what the Bible says.
And you mentioned something there that is pretty interesting. We are called by the Bible. We are called by the gospel. I don't know how many times I have been asked this question as a preacher by people in the world. Where did you get your calling? Now, my question is, where did you get that question? Where did you get that calling? And the inference to this is that God somehow, some way, sent an angel or sent a vision or sent a nudge or sent a voice or some kind of a direct operation in a miraculous sense to tell me, David, you need to be a preacher. But every single one of us, Tom, are called the very same way, and it's by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, and I would like to read that passage which says, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is not some feel-good calling that a person has. I've been called to go here. I've been called to go to school there. It is a calling that we have that comes from the revealed Word of God, the written, the inspired Word of God.
You know, and back to Galatians 1, verses 13 to 14, Paul was profiting in the religion of his parents.
Mm-hmm.
But God called him out of that religion because it was a false religion, a religion that was based upon man, a religion was based on things that were past. God called him out of it. And so even if you're following your parents, what the religion of your parents, let's make sure that what we're doing is right, that's according to the Word of God.
Well, let's just look at this logically just for a moment. If you asked the question just a moment ago, what if one parent was believed one thing and another parent believed another thing? Now we've got two different avenues of thought here as a child looking at this. But if you go back seven generations, then you've got 128 sets of thoughts to deal with. Just seven generations back. Now, out of those 128, who do you think is all in one solid unified belief out of that 128? Do you think they would all be unified in what they were thinking?
I hardly doubt it.
And you know, you take it back and go 15 generations, you got 32,000, over 32,000 parents that have got to be agreed on something that you're supposed to be unified on. So if you put your stock and you put your standard as that of your parents or your grandparents, you're going to be deeply disappointed because not all of them are going to believe the same thing.
And so which parents should we follow? You know, how many generations, which one's correct, which one's right? The only way we're going to know which one is right, or if any of them are correct, is if we go back to the Bible as our authority.
Right.
And that's what we're going to have to do.
That has got to be the standard, the one and only standard. That is the only way that we can all be unified in a belief is to go back to God's standard. And this gets us back to the motto of this program.
Mm-hmm.
You have heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has
that's
to say.
Right. You know, another thing that causes people a lot of difficulty in regard to understanding what authority is that they make their authority, well, what the majority says.
Mm-hmm.
Majority rules. You know, well, everybody else is doing it. I remember when I was a young boy and I wanted to do something. And one of the arguments that I would give to my father was, well, Dad, everybody else is doing it. And I was trying to make that my authority, that for making it all right for me to do it because everybody else was doing it. And my dad used to always say, well, son, if everybody else jumped off a cliff, would you want to do that also? And so we realize that what the majority says is not right. It may not be right. In other words, we cannot let the majority be our authority in religion.
Correct. When you have the authority, the majority of the people being your authority, you can get in all kinds of trouble like this. I don't know how many times I've heard people say things like, well, you know, this place over here, they got over 6,000 people in this congregation over here, and that has got to be right. That has got to be the one that is the correct one of the whole bunch. And just because 6,000 people believe in one thing doesn't mean a hill of beans. Actually, we have multitudes of questions or answers and questions given to us in the Bible and instructions, especially when it comes to this majority issue that we're talking about here. One of those is in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, where God, through Moses, tells the children of God, you shall not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shall you speak in a cause to decline after many to rest or to twist judgment around.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't follow a multitude to do whatever we're doing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We had a lady call in and ask a question, and what we're going to do is answer this question in light of what we're talking about, authority. The lady asked, what is the meaning of Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13? Well, a lot of people have different views about various moral issues in the world today, But here is a good example of let the Bible speak, let the Bible give the authority. The passage is Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13, and it says, "If a man lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." Well, David, this passage is clearly teaching us about homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And how God condemns this. He says it is an abomination to him. And in Old Testament times, it was such an abomination that God says they were to be put to death. Now, to bring that to what we're talking about today, when you look around in our world today, we have a lot of people who are saying, well, homosexuality is not wrong. You know, I just feel in my heart that it's right. And how would God condemn someone who's in love and things of that nature like that? And so we've got to be careful that we're using God as our authority. The Bible says very clearly that we are to, that homosexuality is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that's taught right here in this passage.
Right. Now, what we need to understand here in Leviticus chapter 20, we're talking about the Old Testament. The laws of the Old Testament have changed, but the principles of righteousness have been brought right over. You can read this same passage in Romans chapter 1, going all the way through there, condemning homosexuality, but not with a physical death penalty,
right,
but a spiritual death penalty.
And so the Bible, as our authority, condemns homosexuality, even though people outside of the Bible would try to commend it,
mm-hmm,
with the false authority.
Right.
Now, we have another call, a caller. What is your name and your question, please, or comment?
Yeah, this is Barry.
Uh-huh.
I would like to know if y'all, I've been in and out and catching most of your program. Have y'all looked at Ephesians chapter 4, especially paying close attention to about 11 through 16? And if you haven't, would you look at that and see how it applies to what we're talking about today?
Well, we haven't talked about it yet, but we'll turn over there and begin looking at it. Ephesians chapter 4.
Chapter 4. And the first 16 verses are all talking about unity,
mm-hmm,
talking the same talk, and then talking about basically starting verse 11 and going through 16. And if y'all would... If it applies, would y'all discuss that a little bit? And because I think this is one of the things that we haven't become spiritually mature yet. I think that's what that's hitting on, especially in verses 11 through 16. And I'll hang up and listen, please.
Well, let's read through here a little bit. Remember that this is a passage that talks about authority.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have a misconception of what authority is, and they're going away from the Bible. But this is telling us that the Bible is our authority. It talks about there in verse 11 that he gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors, some teachers. These were five spiritual offices that were endowed with the Holy Spirit back in those days, and they had the power to teach God's word. And they had this. The reason that they were teaching this authority, God's word, verse 12, is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Stature of the fullness that we were being taught this was that we be not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and we might put in there by every view of authority.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are being tossed to and fro by these various doctrines because they're not going back to the Bible as their authority. And they're allowing their ideas or their traditions and things of that nature to guide them instead of the Word of God.
Right. And when we use that word doctrine, all in the world that is just teachings. And so you have various teachings, and that's what he's talking about, the authority. The authority is just one teaching. And the authority is the teaching of God, the revealed will of God. We've already gone through the inspiration of the Bible, so we know that the Word of God is inspired. Now, we know also that it's got to be our authority because this teaching, the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, that is what is revealed to us here, and that is what we have for our unified thought. And this is what he's talking about, being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. every teaching that is out there that man has come up with, it will blow some people this way, and then it'll turn around and blow them back the other way because they are not unified with the Word of God as their authority.
And notice also there in verse 14, it talks about how that they are carried about by every wind of doctrine. And notice, by the sleight of men, mm-hmm. cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So there are a lot of people who are trying to get away from God's authority, go to their own ideas of authority for the purpose, and I believe for the sole purpose many times, of just deceiving the people. And some of these TV evangelists who says, God talked to me or God told me, they are using another authority for the purpose of deceiving mm-hmm. people from what is really right and what is really true. But we need to, as he says there in verse 15, speak the truth in love.
Right.
God's truth is our authority in all things and has to be. And his truth is found only in the Word of God, the Bible.
Absolutely. I think we got another caller on the line. Caller, would you give us your first name and your question or your comment, please?
Yeah, this is Casey. I wanted to give you a call. I was listening, and you know, one thing or anything, or we read anything, study anything from the gospel, and it's not conducive to our lifestyle. Sometimes I think even those in or outside of the church, when they see something that they know is not how they've been living their life, but they know they need to change, I feel like sometimes there's been a resting of Scripture because, you know, it just doesn't fit me, and I'm just not ready to accept what the Scriptures say. And, you know, any time that we do that, we have to realize that we're not accepting God's authority over our own desire, not being subjected to Him, as you said earlier. But I think sometimes we rest the Scriptures whenever we get to the point we'd rather do what we desire rather than listen to the Word of God. And I think it would be best if, when we feel those ways that we're not ready to accept it, we need to pray to God and say, hey, Lord, you know, I'm having a hard time struggling with this. Help me.
Well, that's a good point, Casey. I'd like to address that if you'll let me. A lot of times, and you made the point that this is not conducive to our lifestyle. The authority of God's Word sometimes is not conducive to our lifestyle. And many times what you will see are families who were once strong in the authority of the Bible, whose children will stray off and get involved in homosexuality or a bad marriage or living in adultery according to the Word and the will of God. And now all of a sudden this family, who was once a very strong proponent of the authority of the Bible, now all of a sudden they seem to think, well, now that may not say what I thought it said back then. And we get right back to what Barry called in about just a moment ago in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says there that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. They lie and wait to deceive. We have people out there who would teach error just to get people to come in and sit in the pew and fill the pews rather than trying to save the souls of men.
And it gets back again to that, what I want,
mm-hmm.
what I feel. Whenever the Bible says something that's against what you want, what you feel, then it's, well, I think that this is the way it ought to be. And then they go against the authority of God. Casey, you still with us?
I think you hung up. But
right.
Casey, we want to thank you.
Right.
Casey, we want to thank you for your call.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. Very good call. Very good input. Not conducive to our lifestyle. That falls right into the family thing. We're talking about being following the religion of one's parents. Now, when you know, we talked about just a moment ago, Tom. When kids get into Christians, all of a sudden parents who have been strong advocates of the authority of the Bible and followers of God's Word, followers of the Word of Christ, now all of a sudden they are going to change this some way or another to fit their children being able to go to heaven living the lifestyle that they live.
That's right.
And so they have to shop around and look for something other than the standard of God in order to make that fit.
You know, there are a lot of people who might have the idea, well, you know, there's all these other people who believe it this way. Well, that must be the right way,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to follow the multitude. And they, like you say, a lot of times people will just try to look around and find out something that suits them instead of getting back to God's authority. And as you mentioned a moment ago, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. It didn't matter what everybody else does. It didn't matter what everybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what some commentary says. It doesn't matter what some college president says. It doesn't matter what some person says. What matters is what the Word of God says. And it doesn't matter how many people believe it. We still have to go back to what the Bible says and use the Bible as our authority and it alone.
Well, over and over and over and over again, we are taught from Exodus all the way through the book of Revelation, actually from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation about the authority of God. And Jesus has a beautiful way of putting things, and he describes things to us in word pictures, what I like to say. And in Matthew chapter 7, he describes, you know, talking about that individual following a multitude, he describes how the narrow way is the right way.
That's right.
And the broad way, the way of the world, is going to be the wrong way. And it's very interesting that he brings this up. We've got a caller on the line, and I want to take this. No, we don't have a caller on the line. We had a caller on the line, and I guess he gave us a question to be addressed. But let's if you've got your Bibles handy, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Here he is talking about he's talking about gates that go into the gates that go into following in and going into the harbors. And he says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, it's interesting here, Tommy, that he is telling us. He's telling us which one of these ways to choose. Don't go there, go here. Mm-hmm. If you go over there, it's going to destroy you. If you go over here, you're going to get life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you will have eternal life if you go here to the narrow way. Do not go in there to the broad way where the multitude is going, because the multitude is going to follow the easy way.
We had a caller that called in and injected a passage for us to look at with connection to what's going on here, and I think there's a good application here. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me
mm-hmm.
is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And you know, that kind of gets back to what we were talking about a while ago with our parents, doesn't it, David?
Right.
How that sometimes we love our parents more than God. And if we're following our parents into a false religion or a false idea, we're putting them above God in value, and that's respecting the authority of our parents and not the authority of God. And because our parents, they are not our authority, no matter how much we love them, no matter how much we admire them, they are not our authority in religion.
Well, in the parallel account that we find in Luke chapter 14, he is even more emphatic than that, and he speaks in a hyperbole, and he uses the word hate.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using the word hate as in love less. Now, notice what he says in verse 26 of Luke chapter 14. "If any man come unto me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, what that is telling us here is that Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 reigns supreme, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, what is his righteousness? It's the Word of God.
Right.
It is the authority revealed to us through the Scriptures here. And so we can't even let our own life's companion, our wife or our husband, our spouse, not even they may come between us and following Jesus Christ through the authority of the Scriptures here.
So authority is a narrow way, isn't it, David?
It is extremely narrow.
That's why Jesus says that you've got to come to the Father through him. I am the way, the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Come to the Father except by me, John 14. Well, we have a lot more we'd like to discuss, but we're running more we'd like to discuss. I think we've had a good discussion tonight on authority. We're going to talk more about the false views of authority before we get into what really the Bible says about and how we ought to be looking at authority. But we want you to consider tonight as I sign off, and I'll let David conclude, but let's remember that the Bible is to be our sole guide in authority. We need to speak where the Bible speaks, be silent where it's silent, use the Bible as our final word of authority.
And we want to thank all the callers tonight for your input, and we thank even those that called in and just submitted the questions. They're very, very helpful, and that's what makes this radio program, and that's what makes this radio program work well, is when people call in and help us out with just a little bit of their in. Also, next week we're going to be talking about this authority, and we're going to be applying this to denominationalism as it is seen by the world. So be sure and tune in next week at 6 o'clock. Every Monday night we're here. We don't take a vacation, and our board man here, Chris, the best that there is in this part of the world, he'll be right here with us. And we want to sign off by saying God bless America.
KEQX 89.7 Stephenville.